you?
You know, we're living it. It's 100 degrees out, 100% humidity. What's not to like?
What's not to like? It's hotter than hell
Ohio
out here.
Ohio in the summer.
Yeah.
Swamp.
Swamp ass season. We've all made it.
But you got lucked out. Lucked out this weekend? Was it luck or was it weird?
You know, if we're going to take 100 degrees or windstorm and 40 degrees, I think I'll take the windstorm.
Yeah, I would too.
So, I don't know if we mentioned this last week, but I went camping.
The Cardelloni camping
trip.
We called it
the 2022 Cardelloni Co-op. Cardelloni Camping Co-op. And last year was just an absolute shit show. It was hotter than hell. I think I blocked out most of it because we just sat there in sweltering heat. This year, the campsite was promising. There were a lot of fun things to do. The weather was interesting. It was, I think at one point, got down to like 42 degrees at night, which is fucking cold. But yeah, there was like a fucking windstorm. When was that? One of the nights, Friday night, Saturday night. I got 0 hours of sleep. 0 minutes, 0 hours of sleep. Didn't sleep at all. Didn't sleep a wink.
What do you do when you
can't sleep? It was so weird. Because you're like in that foggy haze. You're like, you just want to fall asleep so bad. But the wind was just so loud. And we had a rain fly that didn't fit our tent. Should have checked that. Should have checked that before we shipped it off. But we got a new tent, bought it on Amazon. Everything was great. It's nice. It's big. What we needed. But the rain fly was obviously fit for like a smaller tent. Oh, well. And so it just was really loose, so it didn't fit. And so it just is like flapping on top of her tent. It was a mess. And all I could hear was Joe snoring.
Oh.
Which is, once you hear it, I don't know if you guys sleep with anybody who snores. But if the trick is, and as we all know, if you fall asleep before them, you're good.
That's a rule.
That's the tip of the dick.
Mm-hmm.
But any chance that they fall asleep before you, fucking forget it. You know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's done. And he was, and that snoring was loud. Was loud as fuck. And Britt was sleeping next to me. We were on air mattresses. I wanted to put Joe on the other side. Like, that would muffle any of the sound. And then I'm worried about, like, Britt not sleeping because of Joe snoring, which was stressing me out. And come to find out, she didn't sleep either. So none of
you
us slept.
You guys could have just been up gabbing.
I wish we would have. But we were just, like, wanted to go to sleep. We were so tired. Anyways. Windstorm of 2022 hit the tent. And just absolutely shaking the tent all night. So zero amount of sleep. Woke up in the morning, took the dogs out to pee, and I slept in the car. Went in the car with the dogs. They laid down. I said, this is it. I have to go to sleep. So I slept in the car for like a few hours until everyone got up. But other than that, camping was great. Camping was good. I just want to announce one big win from the Cardelloni McAleese family. And it's that our dogs are successfully off leash. And it changed my fucking life.
Really?
My camping was so fucking good because my dogs were so good. It was insane. It was so insane. I was like, they're so happy. I'm so happy. I don't have to worry about this. Because I'm telling you, when I like death gripped my dogs in and out of the tent last year, so scared that they'd run away, that's how we were. Right. And this was like, open the tent, let them out, which was such a nice thing. But Pickle did chew a hole in the tent. One time we kept him in there. We went to go swim at the lake or play volleyball. And I called my aunt, who was there that day, and I said, hey, do you mind grabbing some more beers for us? We're trying to get it more boozy. And she's like, hey, yeah, I can bring. I'm definitely going to bring some. But I think Pickle's out of the tent. Pickle got out of the tent. There's a hole in your tent. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I like run back. She's like, she's out here just wandering around. I'm like, what?
Classic.
So I run back, and what do you know? She chewed a little hole out the window of the tent.
And just jumped out.
And just pew! Little fox out of the tent.
In those situations, was Olive still in the tent?
Yes, like, 100%. Like, are
Mom,
you fucking...
I think it was me.
Yeah.
That's Barley every day we come home because Cora's always gets into something.
Mm-hmm.
Like something.
Yeah.
Josh is like going to send him to training or like once he's contacted a trainer. And I was like, Josh, you know the solution to your dog not chewing things. He's like, what? I was like, crate him. I just don't. I'm one of those. I don't like crating my dogs. I just don't like it. I understand there are benefits to it, but like in both of my experiences with trying to train Barley, who would literally bleed, like because she was trying to get out. Because and I'm like, it's just not that serious.
Yeah, I get that.
But granted, like Barley didn't chew things up like Cor. And Cor doesn't like chew everything up. He'll just like get a box out of the recycling and like destroy the box.
Yeah.
Or like a pair of my shoes.
But that's where you draw the line.
Right, right. And I was just like, all of dog training is people training. I was like, we have to be trained to train our dogs. And I was like, it is not like you send your dog to training and then they're trained. I was like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. When we trained Olive, it's like I had to go with.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just training her and giving them back at me. I'm like, she's fixed.
No, it's so like, much work.
So much. You need to understand a lot. Yeah. You know?
But I felt really lucky with both my dogs because like I feel like harder things to train into dogs is like temperament. And with this little kitten that we just rescued, I was worried about Cor's because he's definitely some sort of like herding dog mix, which like those can be kind of bad with cats because they just want to like chase them or like honestly just kill them. And at first we were like, we felt like Cor's was getting pretty intense just with interest. But then after like, it was like day three that I was finally like let her down, let him down. And they just love each other.
Oh, good.
Love each other. Like, aww. Just having.
Maybe Cor's likes that little fatherly, maybe. He, like a little take care of.
Just baby daddy.
Oh.
He's just a little baby. But he loves playing with little Queenie.
Queenie.
She's so cute. It's criminal.
It's criminal. Should be illegal.
Should be. But she is sweet. Barley's not his soul, but she would never hurt her. But Barley's like, I'm not going to go near you.
I ain't convinced.
That's what cuteness. I love about Barley. Because she'll just remove herself. She's like, I don't need to put up a fuss.
We love a woman who knows her boundaries.
I don't need to put up a fuss.
Right.
But I'm not going to be excited. And I'm not going to be all about this thing.
Yeah.
But all in all, camping successful?
The Cardelloni Camping Co-op 2022 was a success overall, I would say. I mean, whether... We were freezing for most of it, if you can actually believe that. We were around the fire like...
I believe that, just because it's like, you got like 65 degree weather when it's been a 95 degrees.
Which sounds good, right? Yeah. You're like, wow, nice hoodie weather. You can play games and stuff. But it was like just on the edge of being a little too cold. But like I said... An overall success. I'm telling you because of my dogs. We're just, besides the pickle incident, we never have like had a camping experience where someone's like, pickle got out of the tent. Because remember last year she got out of the tent and Joe sucker punched her because he thought it was an animal. He thought an animal was he thought an animal was trying to get in his tent. He's like, what the fuck? And he punches it. And Pickle's like, and she's like, oh shit, it was Pickle. Yeah.
I don't know. Did you tell
I thought story? I did. If you don't remember, if you're hearing this for the first time, last year Pickle got out of the tent in the middle of the night. I don't know what she was doing, how long she was wandering around, but she heard Joe snoring. Joe was sleeping in another tent because of his snoring. We take snoring precautions very seriously in this family. And so he was sleeping in another tent and Pickle was like hearing him. So Pickle scratched on the tent, like, let me in, you know, dad, hello. And Joe wakes up. He's like, what the fuck? And he like sucker punched it out of the tent, like on the tent so that it would go away, thinking it was like a raccoon or something. Absolutely annihilated Pickle. Pickle's like, oh. And then he's like, oh, Pickle. And then he comes in the tent, half asleep. He's like, Jess. He comes in our tent. He's like, Pickle got out. I'm like, what the fuck?
I know, because I punched her in the face.
Yeah, he's like, I've just socked her. I'm like, oh my God. So we have yet to experience camping trip where Pickle does not escape the tent. But
hey,
overall success.
It might just be her thing. Just might be a little quirk.
I love it. I love that my dogs are good now. Like, it's just such a blessing.
It would be.
Yeah.
Can't wait till I'm there.
Yeah.
We'll see about there. Course.
Yeah. Well, we went through training. You know, we did that dance. So you're about to enter into it. It's never too late. I'm telling you right now, it's freaking worth it.
Yeah. Jess, I'm wondering if you're on wedding TikTok like I'm on wedding TikTok, because I saw the most insane video from a dress boutique. Okay.
Okay.
This is the story. So this woman, the owner of the dress boutique, gets a call from a bride whose wedding is in October or November. She gets a call from her fiance And he's like trying to see if he can reorder her dress. And she's like, okay. And, you know, there's like 5 months to go. She's like, that's kind of tight. She's like, we had all these different alterations. And she's like, and we probably need to get her in back in for measurements. And he's like, no. Like, we can't have that happen. Like, that's like, she can't know about this.
Wait, what do you mean reorder the dress?
Like, he wants to order her dress again.
Like, so get two of them?
Get two of them.
Okay.
And so a lot of this TikTok is this woman trying to get to the bottom, you know, just saying like what she's doing. Basically, long story short, the bride's grandmother had passed and the bride's dress was in her mom's closet. And it had just been in her closet, you know, tucked away for like, you know, the last 6 months. The bride's mom tells her son and the fiance to go into her the grandma was supposed to get buried in her wedding dress, which was in a box.
No shot in, the grandma
in
got
the, in the mother's
in this dress.
And then so they find a dress in a bag that they just take to the funeral home. And they put this woman, this grandma, in the bride's dress. But nobody catches this.
Not even the bride?
Because she has a closed casket.
Oh, my God.
Because she had, like, cancer or something that, like, they didn't want her to be seen. But it was, like, you know, her wish was to be buried in her wedding dress. And then, like, 3 weeks after the funeral, mom goes into her thing and sees grandma's wedding dress in the box. And she's like, what the heck? Then she looks and the bride's dress is gone.
Oh,
so grandma gets buried in her granddaughter's wedding dress. And they're trying to figure this out before the bride is any the wiser.
If grandma's wedding dress was the shit and that she would just wear grandma's dress to her wedding instead. Oh my God. So they're trying to do this without the bride knowing.
Yes.
Just like a classic swap, a classic switch out, if you will.
Right. But it's like,
because they're not going to excavate their fucking grandma to get the wedding dress off of her.
I know, but like she had alterations done after they had, you know, like, cause you get the dress in and then you have alterations done and then you.
Yeah.
So she's just like, I don't know how you're going to not tell her.
Holy moly. But
I understand why we're not telling her. Because the woman, the dress place owner was saying, like, I almost called the bride because I thought it was so sketchy.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, this is so weird. Like,
did he explain to her this whole story?
Yes.
Okay, about the girl. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
No.
Honestly, but what I was thinking is, I was like, the bride has another shot to pick out a dress.
Yeah. I would have taken like, it.
Right?
Absolutely. That is funny. But maybe she loved it.
So.
Oh, my God.
But what I think is funny is this person posts this, like, dress code. And I'm like, she posts on her TikTok. It's like, you don't think your bride is going to see your video that goes viral on the internet? So it could all be fake. But I thought it was a very interesting story.
Very interesting story. Like, what could you imagine, too, if they're like, no, we're going to dig grandma up and take it off of her. I'm not wearing
not,
that dress.
Not a three-week decay.
No.
Not a three-week decay.
No, not the decomposition like all over the dress.
3 weeks to figure it out, too.
No. Oh, no.
No, that dress is gone.
Yeah, it's gone. With grandma now.
It's with grandma now.
Maybe that suited her nicely.
But poor grandma didn't even get her dying wish. She got married. She got buried in her grandma's.
Oh, my God.
In her granddaughter's
Sorry,
dress.
Graham. Sorry.
R.I.P.
Rip Queen. I do have something to say. This is a question that you guys asked since we're doing a Q&A this episode, but I think this is a good get it out of the way. And let's talk about Drake's new album. Honestly, never mind about the whole album.
let's not talk about it.
So people have asked me, I've had some people DM me, what do you think? Here's what I think. My review is that it sounds like one big old sleepy sound. I'm going to quote Rachel's fiance here, Josh, and he said, sounds like a bunch of old ringtones. And I'm like, okay. And this was before I listened to it. I was like, don't come here with that negativity before I've given a full car listen. You know, don't come at me with any type of
it sounds
slander. Any Drake's, no Drake slander can be before I've given a full listen.
Right.
So I'll say there's a few bops, okay? Every artist likes to take a different turn, do a different project, step out. Are these straight 2016 Drake hits? Absolutely not.
I don't think he like spits one verse. It is just sing-songing.
It is
Post Malone-y.
But worse.
Yeah.
Post Malone can do it. Drake.
Because Post Malone is Post Malone. Mm-hmm. But I was like, what is going on here? And my other critique of Drake at times is like, because his life is so private, I feel like a lot of his music is inauthentic in this style. Because it's like some of his lyrics, I'm like,
great.
What
point.
Are you talking about?
Great point. Because when on Drake's album, sometimes he does these like freestyle ones that get real deep, that tell a lot about his life. And those are the ones I think I could speak for myself as a fan that I love hearing. So I'm like, wow, he's finally opening up. This is great. This is artistry. This is him. And yeah, this, when they're just sing-songy and they don't mean anything, it's like, yeah. I'm not getting from you what I need. Like, I love that your music is just a book about your life. And I don't feel that way with this album. So it's hard to connect. Great point, Rach.
Yeah. Especially it's so close after Champagne Poetry, Champagne Problems, I felt was like a pretty good album.
Yeah.
Like, at least it like had some honest songs on there.
Yeah.
So I was like,
no honesty, just straight vibes. Hey. Like, it is vibey. Like, I had it on and I was doing a lot of this.
Oh, well, as long as you're doing this.
Yeah. And I felt like, I felt myself doing this little jig, you know, and I was like, it's fun, but it ain't Drake.
Yeah.
It's very soft. Very soft. So
low T. Low T.
Yeah. So we'll try again here in another year or two. And
okay, good. I'm glad you answered that.
Yeah. I just want to get out of the way before we start diving into questions, because a few people did ask.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you guys asking.
And another thing I think we needed to clarify, because after some outcry from after last week's episode, I wanted to say, we are not moving permanently to monthly episodes. I think that was misconstrued. Instead of going on a break, we're doing monthly episodes. Like, instead of going cold turkey, we wanted to do the monthly episodes. And then hopefully around November, December, we will be back.
Better than ever. Hopefully.
So, yeah, I think we just needed to give ourselves a little bit more time, and we're hoping that we could give ourselves more time by doing these monthly recap episodes. That way we're not like completely abandoning you guys. And I'm sorry if you feel like that, but
the responses were like making me sad.
I know.
I was a little sad because everyone's like, you can't leave us. We're so sad. But everyone was also so supportive and being like, I totally understand and do what you need to do. But I was just like, oh, you know,
yeah.
It is a sad thing, but I think it's going to be good for us. Otherwise, we would just give you shit episodes every week and nobody fucking wants that. So
right.
We're doing it for you. We're doing it for us.
Yeah. But let's answer some of these cues. I feel like there are a lot of good questions, so I don't know if we need to go in any particular order of anything.
Okay, Rach, I found one for you. And I feel like starting us off,
okay,
is a Rage question.
Oh,
what is Rage most excited about marriage and the wedding?
What I'm most excited about with marriage?
For marriage and for the wedding, I guess, is the question.
The wedding is hard because I'm excited for it to like finally just like happen and come to life. I think I'm finding it very difficult to be like, I have all of these moving pieces together, and even though I do this for a living, I'm still like, how the hell is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is this going to look? How's this going to work? Like, feeling very overwhelmed. So I'm excited to like finally see it come together. But I'm mostly excited to just like be around all of my best friends and my family, and then like watch them experience the day. I think I'm going to be looking a lot at like my parents and my sister and my friends, because I think that this day is a lot more than just about me and Josh, although like obviously that's why it's happening. Like, I feel like Josh and I really feel like we've made it, you know, like we've been through a lot this last year. We've been through a lot in our lives in general, and the fact that like both of us get to marry someone who we wholeheartedly like love, support, and experience joy with on a daily basis. Like, I'm excited to just do that. Mm-hmm. In marriage, I'm excited for a lot of things. I feel like, again, last past year has been a lot. But I'm looking forward to like having full confidence in my marriage going into it in a way that like, I think it's hard to have that kind of confidence. But I'm glad that I have that.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good answer, Rach.
Thanks.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited to witness.
Feeling a little nervous as I
have to document it, but.
Hey, what are you going to wear?
I'm working, so I don't know. It feels a little. I just ordered a bunch of newly. Got my whole newly is just dresses for Rach's wedding, uh-huh. or, you know, jumpsuits, whatever.
Yeah.
And then hopefully praying that one of them works.
I ordered a couple things on newly for Madison, mm-hmm. too, for the wedding. I got her a jumpsuit, but I know there's this dress that she's really going to like. So I feel like Madison will probably change at the venue. Like, wear something more active for, like, our portraits ahead of time and, like, getting ready. And
yeah.
then when we get to the venue, she'll probably want to change.
Okay.
Because the dress that I know that she's really going to like is a big nip slip risk.
Got it.
It's a big, deep V situation.
Oh, she would like that.
She would love to have a nip slip scandal.
She would.
She would love.
It would fit her. It would suit her very nicely.
She would love.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question. What made you start podcasting? There was a lot of reflection on podcasting because of the announcement last week, which I found really interesting too, because we are taking a break and this is new for us and it will feel a little distant. So mm-hmm. it is kind of nice to be like reminiscent of the pod story, but the answer is quite simple and it's Rachel Roche. And I feel like you could answer this better as to why.
Yeah.
You wanted to start and why maybe you asked me to join.
When I was like in the midst of like my separation and divorce and listening to podcasts and going on walks, hot girl walks before they were hot girl walks, by the mm-hmm. way. And I was just feeling like I wanted a community that would like talk about divorce and not like a divorce specific podcast because I found those to be a little bit heavy, but like, just have a voice in my life that like had that experience and I wanted to like be that voice for other people. But I also like wanted to have a co-host on it. And like when I was thinking about that, I was like, I don't really want it to be another divorced person because I want to be able to like provide differing experiences. And I also wanted it to be someone I knew I could talk to every single week. And like just really was the only option. So like that I really thought about. I was like, Jess, you're going to do this, right? And she was like, no. And I was like, I think maybe though you are. So
well, at first it was a YouTube channel was the first project that you wanted to do. You're like, we're going to start a YouTube channel. We're going to do
this. I don't
this.
Remember the YouTube channel at all.
You were
maybe that idea.
It was like fresh post-divorce.
Oh God, so I could never imagine being on
it could
YouTube.
Have been a state of... a little bit of unhingedness.
Yeah. What is a YouTube channel?
Like, I don't know. I thought it was a little outdated when you had mentioned it, but it was like pre TikTok days too. So it was just.
I wouldn't even know what that means.
Oh, you were gung ho on it though. You were like, it was so funny because I was like, that is
what was
a
I
going
to do? Vlog my life?
I don't know. I don't know what the vision was, but I was like,
have no vision.
Absolutely not doing that. And then the podcast was like. You just kept approaching it with me and you're like, no, yeah, I think you are going to do it. And I was like, okay, I hate the sound of my voice. I don't know
that's
how that's going
to work saying
out.
Is I hate the sound of my voice.
But yeah, I think for me, it was like, I just wanted to make people laugh and I wanted to share stories. I know I've been told like I'm a good storyteller and I was like, I think I can provide the comic relief and Rach can provide a lot of insight and wisdom. And mm-hmm. I know I provide that as well. I'm not saying that I don't, but I think it was like a balance of like Rach's more serious and can talk and I can tell the stories and make people laugh and make her laugh on the pod. So
which much needed.
A little comic relief, if you will.
This is a good question. I feel like this will be interesting for you to answer, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
How do I properly celebrate my former self with my maiden name and embrace the married me on Saturday?
I read this and I was like, are you changing your name?
I'm assuming she will change her name.
How to honor single you versus married you.
Yeah. Because you still go by both.
Yes.
Like, you still are Jessica Cardelloni mm-hmm. in some realms and Jessica Mackley's.
Yeah, realms. I am a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think what's a good way to celebrate yourself as you before being married? I don't know. I'm struggling on this. I struggled when I read it, is why I didn't bring it up. Because I'm just thinking, I'm like, okay, she has a few days to do it. You know? Like,
yeah.
What about a letter to you, you know, or I always think in writing, it's nice to like, or I don't know too, like we did a time capsule for our wedding with a bottle of wine that will open in 5 years.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be there
while you open it?
Yeah. But yeah, I think the time capsule idea is cute, like a letter,
mm-hmm.
Some sort of letter to yourself to honor where you're at and your independence before you get married.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, I've had people, I don't know what your maiden name is, but one of my friends named her first son her maiden name.
Yeah.
Worked like that. I feel like there are ways for you to like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes maybe not correcting people. Like if they call you by your, like you are still that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like if, unless you want like a hard launch of a rebrand and you want to correct people continuously, like I think it's okay to like let yourself be both things and to like let that happen. Like I remember when because I changed my last name the first time I got married, I would ask people like, don't change my name in your phone. I was like, I want to be Rachel Roche forever. Mm-hmm. And I think that was more of a tell of like, I didn't want to change my last name. I didn't think it was like an option. I mean, I did, but I very much wanted to feel like a unit with my spouse and I wanted that. And I also really wanted his family to accept me. And I felt like that was like a surefire way. But now that last name will follow me until the day I die. I will always get mail for that person. Mm. I don't know that bitch. She's dead.
She's dead.
She gone.
Was it I don't know, the old Taylor. She's dead. Or something.
Don't say they can't come in front of me.
And
now.
I think it's the way you view it as well. I think that's why it's a hard question for me because I don't see as just as my example or my interpretation of it is like I don't see as like I'm losing anything.
Yeah.
When I'm entering into the marriage, I'm only gaining
yeah.
something.
Have you legally changed your last name or are you socially no. just Mackley's?
Kind of. Like I think when referring to like Joe's family or like,
yeah,
sometimes my dad calls me Mackley's for fun, which I think yeah. is cute. And, but no, it's not legally changed and I don't have any, plans to change that. And maybe when we have kids, so it's easier for schools mm-hmm. and such, but I'm still going to keep my business name for sure.
Yeah.
Even though J Mac Photography is kind of cute, but it also sounds like an old 50-year-old man who has a studio. So, like, I mean, Jess Card is just going to stay. Yeah. So
you are who you are.
I am who I am. And I think that's just the way, too, like, when you enter into a marriage. I don't – it's maybe it is hard to view it that way, but I don't think you're losing anything but only gaining
yeah.
a partner. You're still you. You're still independent. I am very independent in my marriage, and Joe and I did an episode on that. It's – I need it, otherwise it wouldn't have worked. So
yeah,
I
think if you shift the thought from thinking like I'm shedding my last name or I'm getting rid of my you know, my maiden name or I'm saying goodbye to my maiden name, like just don't think of it that way. Mm-hmm. Like you can, you know, take on your partner's last name because they're your partner and you're doing that thing, and you can also just. I don't know. You're allowed to be both people and you're allowed to hyphenate even like if legally, if you would rather hyphenate, you know, like my mom it was common back in the 80s, I think, because my mom legally, you know, her name when she was born, Sherry Lynn Cummings. But then she changed her name to Sherry Cummings, middle name, Roche.
Mm.
And I think that was kind of common to like put your maiden name as your middle name because now it's always like her signature is Sherry C. Roche.
Cute.
They're divorced now, so she could have just taken Cummings back. But hey,
Roche is sick.
Tuisha's own.
Tuisha's own.
It is sick. And we're the Roche gals, so.
The Roche gals. Ooh, there's some deep questions here. Some pod questions. I like this one.
Oh, and this is another question. Are you both taking your husband's last names? On that, I'm not taking Joshua's name. And he's not taking my name. Although I begged and pleaded. And we already explained Jess's situation.
Right.
I will
Pride
be.
More. Is it Pride More Roche?
It would Pride be More. Roche Pride More. Mm-hmm. That's what our kids' last names will be.
Cute.
Roche Pride More. But also, I'm trying to fight for just Roche.
Get it.
Hey, I'm carrying the things.
You're convincing, so maybe. Hey. There's still hope.
Oh, I did say that to Josh. I was like, Josh, what would I have to do to make our children's names just Roche? And he's like, how many free passes would it give me? I was sucks. Like, you're so toxic.
Oh my God. That is funny.
Here's a more lighthearted one, but advice for finding clothes that you feel good in. We got a couple clothes questions, which thanks, guys.
Yeah.
But Newly has really been a good game changer, and I feel like could be a good way for people to explore their style, find their size. I think that's also hard. I feel like sometimes you get caught in a loop of like buying like, say, a medium when really you're a large now, you know? And it's like you're like, these mediums are really tight. And it's like, just buy a large. Buy clothes that fit. And I feel like when you do it through Newly, there's this like psychology of like, well, I'm not actually, you know, like I think it's like, I'm not actually buying these clothes, I'm, you know, and you can try on different feelings of clothes.
Yeah.
For
me, it's the variety and it's the, I get something new every month. I get 6 items of clothes every month. Mm-hmm. Is it 6? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that for me is like, cool. That makes me excited to, you know, I like to change up my style. I like to keep it new, keep it fresh. So like going out and having something that you haven't already worn for mm-hmm. me feels really good. So that's why. And like you said, like switching it up with your style, because there's so many options on yeah. there. Maybe stuff you're not keeping. It's not permanent unless you want to. So it's like you can kind of send it back or just yeah. try it on for size.
Like my whole Newly for me this month is just dresses, because mm-hmm. it's just been so hot.
It's perfect.
I have no desire to wear pants at this point in my mm-hmm. life. And so I don't really own many dresses. And so it's nice that I'm like, well.
They're great for weddings, right?
They are. Gotta wear some
Oh, some Spanx. 100% Spanx. But biggest piece of advice for buy clothes that fit and get rid of clothes that don't fit. Mm-hmm. That might seem wasteful, but I promise you it's not. Just donate the clothes and your body's changing. It's very rare that you're going to go back to that size, especially if it's 100% unreasonable. We're getting older. We're never getting younger. Regardless if you lose the weight or not, just get rid of it. And you're wearing the same 10 pieces of clothes anyways, and I know this for a fact. So trust that. You know, throw away the shit that doesn't work or donate it and get shit that does. And just because it's also another, if it's sizing that you feel weird about, sizing's different throughout all brands, so don't get too hung up on that. You can yeah. be a 12 in one store and a 8 in another. It doesn't matter. So just, it's inconsistent across the board, and it's not the size and the number does not define you. Wear what's comfortable, try it on, and rock it. It's confidence once you're wearing it is huge.
Yep, I agree. I think getting rid of the clothes that don't serve you is the key. Mm-hmm. You don't need to wonder if those pants from 8th grade will fit you again.
It's just another reminder. If you think about it, it's just yeah. another reminder that you're like, this is something I cannot wear because I don't fit it. How is that serving you when you go into your closet to like want to feel confident and comfortable? It's not.
Right.
So it's just a negative reminder when trying on clothes or putting on clothes for the day, which is already kind of stressful for some people. And, you know.
Right. And if you're holding on to like, you know, a size 4 or a size 6 pant, for whatever reason, it's the thing you can't get rid of because it's your goal. And if you're accepting that that's the goal, that is the standard of beauty, then you are actually subconsciously holding that as the standard of beauty for everyone. Mm. You're saying, I'm not beautiful or I'm not worthy or I'm not thin or I'm not fit until I fit into these pairs of pants from my 10th grade, the summer of 10th grade, you're then just perpetuating this toxic beauty standard and you're internalizing it. So challenge that. Make that the summer of challenging that.
Make the summer of challenging that.
Because I
mean, take a peek.
Take a peek. We all get a little toxic with ourselves.
We do.
Don't think I don't know.
I know you do. I know we do. Just get rid of it. But also brands, if they're asking brands, was that a question?
What the hell was that?
I hope they're okay. That sounded like someone ate shit.
Ow.
Ow. You okay? Sorry, there's a loud noise that just happened. And
I don't think anybody could hear it, but...
Anywho, brands. Nuuly, obviously, that has millions of brands to choose from, which is...
owned by Anthropologie, I think.
Right. And I shop a lot of H&M. Basically, a lot of H&M. Mm-hmm. Zara is a risk. It's a big risk. And it's low-key the new Forever 21.
Just rebranded.
Yeah, just a mess in there. And, you know, some stuff you think it's cheaper, but low quality sweatshop mentality.
Yeah.
So, but I would say those are what I'm wearing right now that I'm rocking.
And if I didn't get it, if I'm not wearing it Target. From Nuuly, Target. Honestly.
Target for
honestly,
sure.
Honestly, lots of Target happening in my life. This is interesting. I'm going to read this because I know the answer, so I can answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But what have each of y'all learned about yourself during this season of the pod?
I like that question.
I know absolutely beyond shadow of a doubt what I learned from
season two.
Season two. Just about, I think, through life, I learned that I don't want to do it all anymore.
It's about damn time.
So... I don't know if I even dropped this on the pod, but this is actually going to be like the last week that we ever record at the studio.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten out of my lease early. I'm over it.
I have not announced that.
I don't think. I think I've casually mentioned it maybe. But yeah, I'm over owning 100 different businesses. And I think really the ectopic pregnancy was just this like slap in the face of like, this is not a sustainable life. Like if you're going to be a parent at some point, if you want to like have a healthy home life, how are the habits that you're making now helping you get to being the person that you want to be? Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be a stay-at-home mom necessarily. Like meaning like it's not like I want to go from having a career to not having a career. Like I always want to have a career, but I want to be present. And it was interesting. I was talking to my uncle. I went to lunch with my aunt and uncle and my dad, and he raised kids in the 70s and 80s, and he said he's like, I missed out on everything. Like it wasn't until he started raising his grandparents or grandkids that he realized like this is what I should have been doing for my own kids. And he said, he's like, I'm really proud of you for stepping away from that. Because I just said, I was like, if I want to be a mother, I can't balance all of this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it even got to the point, like even when I lost the pregnancy and I still went forward with trying to get out of the studio, because it was like, I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better partner. I want to be a better daughter. I want to be a better sister. And by like having 10 plates up in the air at any given time, I'm unable to fulfill like any of my roles in other people's lives. So I think I've just really realized like what's important to me and that I don't really care to be uber successful with my businesses anymore. I just want to like have a full life. And I think a near-death experience will do that to you.
I would say so, yeah. Rach, that was such a good answer. I love that for you.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's about damn time. But no, it's hard to watch your friend, you know, just grind in, grind out, mm-hmm. you know, and watch them work themselves to the bone and not be happy. So I'm glad you were able to prioritize some mm-hmm. the real life situation, you know?
Yeah.
You love that. Good for you, Rach.
Can you think of anything? Anything that you've learned in this? I mean, really, it's been this year.
Yeah.
Because, like, we restart in November.
Yeah, I'm learning that I would generally describe myself as a patient person, but that's been tested a lot for me this year. And patience in, you know, working on my mental health, patience on finding this house and, you know, what I want. When I want things, I want them now. And like over the past couple of weeks, like it's really slowed down for me, which has been really nice. And being able to shift perspective. It's like, if we wait, things will get better. You know, if we just wait this out, you know, we have to put in the work, we have to put in the time, and we'll get what we want. And that's hard for me, which is weird because I never thought it would be. But patience, I'm working on that. Working on waiting for the things.
Yeah.
Let them come to me.
Yeah.
But also, like, obviously the work-life balance as well. I don't own more than one business, but I think it'll be nice to put a little more effort into the one I do have.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're in it, it's just you're just staying afloat, and I'm kind of putting in some bare minimum work. And I'm noticing that. Yeah. So I think obviously this break will help with that.
Yeah.
Be a little more present during wedding season.
Okay. I like this question. Do you believe that when you meet the right person, you have no doubt in your mind?
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
There's always a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. I think there's like a comfort and a familiarity with finding like a good person that can be kind of like, oh, I have no doubt in my mind, right? Like truly, like I remember, you know, what I felt like going on my first date with Josh. It was just this instant comfort, this instant familiarity. I mean, we had known each other for 10 years, but there was just that like thing. And I was like, oh yeah, this is how it should be, you know? But it truly took me like 6 months to be like, oh, I'm in love with you. I want to invest in a forever path with you. And I think that was also coming like, I mean, I'm coming off being separated and divorced, and, you know, I didn't have the ability to be like, yeah, let's go get married tomorrow. You know, that mm-hmm. wasn't like an option on the table for us when we first started dating. But yeah, I forget what this question was.
It's this, oh, yeah. Are there any doubts? And it's like, I think they're natural and healthy doubts. It's yeah. not like I was walking down the aisle like, I had a few doubts. You know, it wasn't like that. It was just like, you know that we're humans and we're flawed. And
those, shit happens.
Yeah, and that's doubt. So, oh, yeah. I mean, yes, you go in full confident, you know, about to marry that person, or like, yes, this is more that I want. Will this come with hardships, complications, and fights? Absolutely. So it's like, I think those are normal. If they're really specific, if those doubts are really like red flags, then you need to take a peek. But mm-hmm. if they're normal, like, yes, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
That's doubt. And that's normal.
Right. And it's very rare natural. Before you marry someone that you've experienced every single life experience that you can have, right? Like mm-hmm. until you have kids, you don't know how they're going to be when they have kids. Until you, you know, go through a, you know, sickness, you're not going to know how they deal with sickness. Like that was something I was really worried about with Josh, was like how he was going to handle like a hard time. And I talked about this before with like the ectopic pregnancy, but like that provided a lot of like reassurance for me of like, oh, like you can do this. Like you can be a supportive partner in hardship, because normal life stress and like tragedy are two different things, and they bring out two different kinds of people. And yeah, I'm lucky that I was able to get some of that certainty before I got married. But I mean, yeah, it's all gamble, babe.
It's all gamble, babe. Yeah, babe. Truly.
This is a question. I did read this yesterday, and I'm going to be talking right to you. Okay. Advice for a bride who might not have a photographer due to body image issues. Not today, but not on your wedding day. Give a photographer the opportunity to show you a different side of yourself.
Mm.
Because that truly, like, I've talked about, like, with doing boudoir sessions and having my photo taken, having professionals take my photos, I was like, when you're not the one going through your iPhone roll, like, picking out every bad angle, every, like, half blank, every, like, it's a different experience. Like, you are way, you're going to judge yourself way harder in an iPhone photo than you hopefully will do from like a professional who will know how to make you comfortable, know how to make you laugh. And hopefully when you're taking photos with the person you love and you're looking at them and you're laughing with them and you're experiencing, you know, life, you'll love the photos.
Yeah, you're not looking at your body or nitpicking it. It's just, yeah. I look really happy here.
Yes.
And that's what we're there to do, to capture it on top of some bomb ass angles. Like, right. It's just, it's what we know how to do. And it breaks my heart that you don't feel worthy of photos on your day because of the fear of what you might look like. And it's exactly what Reed said. It's like, let someone prove you differently.
Yeah.
Set up an engagement session. I would strongly suggest that these are memories that are not going to be there, and they're going to be taken on people's iPhones, and then you are going to start that negative self-talk.
Yeah.
You want them done professionally, and it would be, you know, really sad for you not to have that captured.
But I do feel like, and Madison and I have talked about this, that there is a psychology that comes out with being like in a bigger body and investing in your wedding, and specifically in photography. Because I feel like inherently, like, plus sized people value themselves as less. And so they don't want to spend as much money on photography or videography, because it's like the permanent photos, right? They're like, okay, I have to do this. So they're just going to get someone cheap. And I think it just sucks, because your wedding day is not about the photos that are being taken. That's something like I always try to bring people back to. Like, of course, I'm a wedding photographer. I love the styled shit. I love getting creative. But like, in the end, like, I hope your favorite photo from your wedding day is you crying when your dad's giving a speech. Mm-hmm. I hope your favorite photo from your wedding day is, you know, you hugging your best friend, you know, after they help put you in your dress. I hope your favorite photo from your wedding day
is you laughing hysterically with your partner, or just that beaming look when you're walking down the aisle. It's every photographer's favorite photos is when they're walking down the aisle after they get married, because it's just, they're on such a high and that adrenaline rush is huge and they're just beaming, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I say that to everyone. I think you look the best when you're smiling the biggest. Like when you are genuinely happy, those are the photos that I immediately gravitate to, that it's like, I'll edit and send it as a sneak peek, because I'm like, you need to see how happy you fucking look here.
Yeah. And I think it's okay. Like, try to look for photographers that have plus size bodies on their feeds. I've talked about this before. Like, Josh and I were going out west and I was trying to find a photographer and I couldn't find anyone that had any plus sized bodies on their feeds. And I was like, there's two problems here. Either photographers are purposely not showing plus size bodies, which is fucked up, or two, people in plus size bodies aren't reaching out to
photographers to get their photos taken.
Right. Which I think both things are true.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of discrimination in that realm. But yeah, I would say stop. Stop what you're doing and hire a photographer.
Yeah, you're worth that.
Because you're worth that. Yeah, it's worth that. Your day is worth that. Your story is worth that. Your story with you and your partner, you are more than your body. Mm-hmm. So start acting like it.
Right. That's memories, happiness, all that is so worth being captured. So you're worth it, babe. There was another one that, what is something you want to say to your future self post-pod break? How you doing, sis?
How you doing, sis?
You okay in there? I hope you're feeling like rejuvenated and feeling like I'm on top of the wedding season. Like, yes. I feel like I'm not drowning, and
I would love to not be drowning.
Yeah. And just feel like refreshed and excited to get back to this and put more effort into this, to be honest. We've talked about it. It's just always this, you know, last minute thing, which we always pull off. But it's like, if we really put in more, which I think we both want to, you know, it would be better for everyone. So I'm hoping, I'm feeling well rested, feeling still energetic though, and motivated to continue.
I agree. I agree with all those things. I'm hoping that I will. Have you found balance? Have you found more daily joy, we'd love to see it for you, Rach.
A little more intentionality, a little more present.
Hey.
Throwing out words. Throwing out Zen words. Yeah.
We have gotten a couple of these. I feel like in every Q&A we get. But what's your best advice for someone wanting to start doing photography professionally? I think someone also asked. Someone said, "I just turned 29. Is it too late?
It's not too late. Get after it, guys. I think we've mentioned this, but maybe we always get these questions. Like you said, befriend someone in the biz and ask for advice. If they charge you for a mentor session, that's your in. That's fine. And just get in after it. Ask questions. Absorb things like a sponge. Like insert yourself in style shoots and workshops, if those are still going on. I have no idea. I haven't seen any since, you know.
I think they do. Okay. We're just not invited.
Okay.
Anymore.
Awesome. Cool. Love to know that. But that's the way to do it, is befriend people in the industry and just get out there and just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Nike.
And also, like, you have to, like, go to weddings and, like, second shoot and figure out if you like doing weddings, because I feel like there's this like allure to wedding photography, but it's a very quick recipe for burnout. And you have to know that like your personality jives with that.
If shooting a wedding scares you, that's okay. That's normal. Like there is anxiety that comes with weddings. I still walking in, I'm like, oh shit, you know, it's a big day, but that's okay. But if it's like I feel physically sick every time I think about talking to other people or instructing people or, you know, carrying people on their wedding day, take a peek. Photography is not a one-stop shop. There's a million things that you can do and you can get into. And maybe you love family shoots. Maybe you're a boudoir gal or guy. Mm-hmm. But figure it out.
Yeah.
I would dabble with all of it just so you know what your, you know, what your niche is.
Yeah. But, I mean, tips, full frame camera, 35 millimeter lens.
You can't Facebook really, Marketplace.
Yeah, you can't really do in close quarters photography without a 35.
She's our tried and true.
She's our tried and true. At least a 35. So there is that.
I love this question. Did you ever imagine your podcast would be where it is now? So excited for the next season.
I don't know. I'm not going to say like I didn't imagine hopefully having a larger audience. I feel like that was the goal. I never wanted to only talk to like 25 people, right? Like I was always hoping to reach more and more. But I think I've been surprised with how supportive this community is. And how like personal it is. That has been the surprise.
Yeah. That
like involved.
Very involved. And when you don't know it, I think I've talked about this before, but there's another question too. Like, what's your favorite part about podcasting, or what do you guys find fulfilling? And it's the listeners. And I never thought that people would look up to us, or we've had people say the nicest things in the world about like, you guys got me through a really tough time. I feel like I'm just sitting on the couch with you guys. I feel like I'm in the conversation and stuff like that is like I said, we talk to a camera and we're recording now. So we don't know how it reaches you, but when you guys tell us, I was never expecting that ever. And it's very, very fulfilling and very rewarding. And I never expected that with the podcast.
Yeah.
Or just people like thinking we're cool blows my mind. Like that is so weird to me. Like that people be like fangirling at your response. I'm like, God, if you could see the way I'm sitting on this couch with my double chin, you would not. And like chips all over me.
Hey,
you would not be thinking, you know, I am in awe.
Some chips and dip sound good right about now.
Lawson's chip dip. Wavy chips only, because
do you know what?
You need to be sturdy enough to get in the dip. But you need it thick, boy.
You know what Josh's Lawson's chip is like?
Hell of a good.
Doritos.
Ooh, Doritos. Gas. Absolute gas.
So it is. Good. It is. He ain't wrong for it.
He ain't lying.
But you can like only get Lawson's at the gas station.
Yeah, Circle K. It's an Crazy. Ohio thing. If you're listening from someone else,
sorry,
you don't.
You're loose.
You wouldn't get it. Mind your business. But it is at the Circle K's here. They have this bomb ass chip dip. And if you're from Ohio, you know. And if you don't know and you're from Ohio, get to the Circle K.
Guys, also, speaking of food, I have discovered something called the Chipotle Kids Meal.
Oh.
And let me turn you on to it, okay? Let me give you. It's a little quesadilla. You can do chicken quesadilla or beef, whatever your business is, okay? Or just cheese. And you get two sides, little black beans, little rice, bag of chips or some fruit. But we're adults. We ain't going to the fruit. Soft drink, $4.50. And so let that be known to you.
A bang for your buck.
A bang for your buck. A great little afternoon treat.
That's a tip of the dick.
If you take one thing from this podcast, Chipotle Kids Meals.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone asked, just because I'm rewatching to relive my youth, One Tree Hill or Friday Night Lights?
On the count of three. One, two, three. Friday One Tree Night Hill. Lights.
But you've never seen Friday Night Lights.
Son of a bitch. But there only is one right answer.
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, but, no,
okay,
no.
Okay, wait. When did Friday Night Lights come on? Were they on at the same time? Were they aired at the same time?
For the sake of science, I'll Google.
For the sake of fact checking. Because One Tree Hill was just so good. And I was in high school while watching it. So if you can imagine the way I felt that was my real life. Yeah, I thought it was my real life.
One Tree Hill.
And the music.
It was 2003. So yeah, they were on at the same time.
Okay. 3 years apart, though.
But One Tree Hill, I feel like a more fair comparison is like One Tree Hill and The O.C. Those are the same. That's like comparing One Tree Hill with Parenthood. Like, they're just not the same thing.
Okay.
Like, I feel like Friday Night Lights is more of a drama in a way that, like, it's a serious drama, mm-hmm. not in a Clay's dead ex-wife's doppelganger comes back and she forms an obsession and tries to kill Quinn.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little bit different.
I get it.
But let me tell you, do I have reoccurring nightmares that I get thrown into a pool with the cover still on and because of that scene? Yes, I do.
New fear unlocked?
I mean, it's been unlocked for me.
For me.
Since 2006. 10 or whatever that season came out. And I feel like there was a lot of cars driving into water in that show.
100%.
A little bit too much of maybe dying, drowning in a
giving
car.
Susie Q vibes. You remember that movie? Dead ass. I think about Susie Q probably once a week.
Get
so.
Out of here.
It was scary as a kid. Okay. Is that it? Did we cover most of them? Pretty much.
I think so.
I think. Someone said, how do I keep from getting lost in the sauce on my wedding day? And I'll refer you back to the last episode, or two episodes ago, right? I feel like we did a huge number on staying present on your wedding day, and we talked about like taking time. So for sake of repeating ourselves,
like
take time out with your partner, just step away for like 5 minutes.
I put that in, so I've been making my like schedule and stuff for day of, and I put like, because Josh and I, it's literally like ceremony cocktail hour, like we're doing like our photos ahead of time, and you know, once you're at like, it's just gonna go. So I literally put like 10 minutes after the ceremony for Josh and I to just like sit, have a drink, chill before we go out to cocktail hour. And it's just like, take time to think about yourself and make those plans, because weddings aren't designed with you in mind.
Your mind in mind.
Yeah. Like, they're designed with like schedules and having this and having that. And those things are helpful because planning a wedding is really stressful and you want to follow whatever, you know, formula there is to, you know, get everything done. But you also want to, like, the formula is what is, that's the sauce.
That's the sauce.
And it can ruin some stuff. So
you don't get lost in that sauce.
Yeah.
So take time, build into the schedule that if you're stuck to the schedule, build it in to the schedule and tell your photographer, tell your wedding planner, videographer, whoever, just to say like, hey, it's really important that I do not get lost in the sauce. So if you can kind of bring me back down to earth every now and then, I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we'll do that. Let people know that you really, you want to be there. Yeah,
let the people know, like, there can be some pretty intense, like, bridal party members, parents. Like, the sooner, the better when you can start talking to them about, like, hey, I really want to enjoy the day. I'm not so worried about schedule. I'm not so worried about this. I'm not so worried about how perfect my hair looks. I'm not so worried about, you know, like, there are certain things that can kind of take away from your day just logistically. So I think the sooner you start saying, like, I'm just excited for it to be, like, really, like, chill or really, like, unfold really naturally.
And that sets the tone for the bridal party, because, like, I think most people are like, we're your hype squad, so they're keeping the energy high all day, which is fine. But you're like, I just, like, I want it to be a little chill at first and then kind of gradually build, you know, and like just tell the people around you that so that they can follow suit.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Take it easy. That's what you said.
Hey, all right.
Take it easy.
But guys, next time you hear from me, I'll be a married woman.
Yeah.
I'll have a slew of stories to tell.
Oh.
I'll probably break down the wedding budge for you.
Yeah, and we'll have a nice, like, wedding recap episode. I feel like would be fun because we're both going to be next to each other the whole day. So it could be funny. There could be some good tea.
Yeah, so that episode will come out July 29th.
Good to know.
Okay, so mark your calendars.
Hold still, guys. Hold still. But also, don't go dying on us. Don't go replacing us.
Hey.
Okay, we need your support.
Someone asks, what podcasts are like us? No one's like us.
Nobody's like us, okay? So I'm not giving you
We're making you Jones for more, okay?
Jonesing for more, for better and worse. We need you, so hang on. We'll try to keep you updated on social media as much as we can. Maybe do some lives if we're feeling up
for
it. That would be fun if you guys want some check-ins.
Yeah.
We can try our best.
Maybe we'll finally drop merch. Who knows?
Who knows, you guys? The future is unknown.
We have a whole oyster.
Right, but
the world is.
We're going to still be giving you what you want.
And it's us, baby.
And this has been For Better and Worse Podcast. I'm Jess.
I'm Rach.
And we're out for now.
But not forever.